everyone, and welcome to the Human Design Podcast with me, your host, Emma Dunwoody. I'm a qualified master coach and human behavior specialist, as well as being a qualified human design coach. And I work with clients every single day to answer the big questions. Who am I? Why am I here? And what is my purpose? I also assist them to transition from the person they think they should be to the person they really are on the inside. I teach people how to actually live their design instead of just knowing it. And if this is something that you want to do too, well, stay tuned or reach out for private coaching or Human Design Unpacks, where I show you exactly how to live your design. Hey, hey, everyone, and welcome to today's podcast. It is so lovely to have you all here, and I am super excited just to say thank you. Like, thank you to every single one of you who has left a review. I really, really, really appreciate it. Each one of you, you make me smile from ear to ear, and I feel like I'm making a difference, that this is really helping and serving. So every single person who reaches out, thank you so much. And to anyone who's ever thought they'd like to leave a review, or they're listening to the first time and they're like, dude, this is good, please leave me a 5-star review, because it really helps other people find me, find this podcast to serve others. You know, I thought it was really interesting. I was listening to a podcast recently that talked about how there's not many, what do they call them? There's not many podcasts in Australia that aren't syndicated. And what that means is they're not owned by any of the big guys. So in America, you tend to have a lot more independent podcasters, whereas there's not a lot of us here. It tends to be more our media houses. And let's be honest, we don't want them dictating the tone. They don't want them dictating what's best for us, right? We do not want freaking Murdoch telling us or designing our podcasts, all right? So can we please support this one so that we can get as many people as possible into a place where they can learn and discover who they really are on the inside and become their own guru? So that'd be super cool. Thanks, everybody. All right, as promised, I am going to talk about profile today. Now, I know in the past I have done all the profile line numbers, so I'm not going to go through that today. I mean, I'll probably touch on it because I can't help myself. But if you want to know in more detail, then go back to one of my early podcasts that is profile specific. But before I go into this little nuance that I've been experimenting with, I will just give you an overview for those that are new. So your profile is right up there with your type, strategy, authority, and then we talk about profile. So if your type and strategy is how you're designed to dance with the universe, how energetically you're meant to, dance with the universe, your authority is all about your own unique decision-making tool, then your profile is like your how. I think in the old school human design language, they talk about it as being the costume of your purpose. For me, it's your how. It's how you turn up. It's the themes that consistently turn up for you. And it's also this part of you that other people are going to want. Okay. So often in our profile, this is how other people see us and what they're going to want from us. Like when we serve or when we give our outer authority, that's what they're going to want from us. So just a quick example, I'm a 3-5. So people want to know all about my experiences. They want me to lead. They want me to help them heal. So this is obvious, right? So I have experiences, or I heal myself, and then I have more experiences and I share it with you guys. So that's why you want that from me. That's my profile, and it's this theme that's going to keep turning up for you. All right, when we look at our profile, so anyone who doesn't know how we discover our profile, just press pause and grab your body graph out. So the way we get our profile is we look at our body graph, and at the top of the glyphs on the right and on the left, you'll see the picture for the sun, okay? It's the top picture. And you're going to have a number, and that's going to have, you know, maybe you have 22 and then you've got a decimal point and then another smaller number, okay? So smaller in stature, not in necessarily in the actual number itself. So that number on the personality side, so on the black side, that is your first number. So mine is like 0.3, so it's a line 3. And then on the design side, which is the red side, that number is going to be your second profile number. So it's going to be 0.12345. So mine's 5. So that makes me a 3-5. Okay. It makes me a martyr heretic. Now, just quickly, the line 1's the investigator, want to know details. These are the people inherently born with a fear of not knowing or not having the answers. So what this does is it triggers them on this journey to get all the details, all the information, all the knowledge so that they can lay a foundation of knowledge that creates safety. Okay, that's the one. The 2, this is the naturally gifted. This is the hermit. This is someone who really wants to be in their own space and contemplate their navel and take knowledge and create something from it, but they live in a projection field. So people will then, once they're ready to come out and share their natural talents, they will all of a sudden, people will start projecting that onto them and they'll be drawn out of their cave, sometimes kicking and screaming, but hey, that's how it goes. The line 3, this is the martyr, and the martyr is all about trial and error. It's all the experimenter, the have to physically try things and experience things for themselves. So in old human design speak, it's like life keeps bumping into them. So these are people that basically get really good at overcoming adversity. The more they resist their adversity, the bigger their adversity will tend to be. The less they resist it, the smaller it can be. And as a line 3, that's from my experience, not and from others. But if you're a line 3, basically you're someone who has to make lots and lots of mistakes so that you know a better way, okay? The line 4 is the opportunist. The opportunist is all about friendship, relationships. What they're all about, they're a foundation line too, because they are the foundation line of the upper trigram. The 1 is the foundation line of the lower trigram. The trigram is the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It's the I Ching hexagram. So the 4 is all about creating safety in relationships and connections. So this is a person who it's very their friends are very important, their crew is very important, their community is very important. If you're a line 4, you're here to influence and to bring, you know, knowledge, experience, and what things that you've learned to the people. However, you have to be very conscious of the people that you're with. If you feel good and appreciated and comfortable, then they're your people. If you do not, then they're not your people. And that the trouble for the 4 can be leaving those people to find new people, because they need to know where they often need to know where they're going, because again, it's a foundation line, so there's a bit of fear if they don't know. So the 4 is all about sharing ideas and influencing people, very people oriented. The 5 is the heretic. Now, the heretic is someone who is here. They want to have an impact. They're here to lead. They're also in a projection field. So I'll talk quickly to that in a second. So the line 5 very much has to heal themselves first so that then they can serve and heal others. They lead through the process of coming up with ways to heal and help other people heal. They can see the potential, how people could, you know, what's not working and how it could work better for them, out of the box ideas. And they live in this projection field as well. But where the 2 gets called out, there's this energetic, like when they're ready to get called out, they get called out. With the line 5, they literally, everyone projects their stuff onto the line 5, thinking it's the line 5, not their own stuff. So the line 5 has to become very resilient and not learn not to take things personally, because really most of the time it's not about them. And then we have the line 6. The line 6 is the role model, and they've got a triphasic process. So there's the 3 phases of the role model. But really the overarching theme of the role model is authenticity. It's about them, you know, they watch the ones, the twos, the threes, the fours and the fives. They take on board everything that they see, hear, know, experience from these energies. And then they make up their mind for themselves, what's true for them. So the Lion Six will go through a three-phase process, so from 0 to 30 or to 28, just after the Saturn return. They, below the age of 30, they operate as a Lion Three, but without the resilience. So they will keep falling down, scuffing their knees, learning what doesn't work constantly until they're 30. Then at the age of 30, they retreat, they go in to take all their experiences, what didn't work, what did work, and create some wisdom, make sense of it. And of course, heal. This is a time between 30 and 50 that they're healing, especially in the early time. Then they're creating wisdom from what they've learned, what they've experienced, what's gone down for them in their life, what's true for them. They're also, the Lion Sixes are here to find their soulmate. So often this happens in the second phase. If it happens in the first phase, that can be really bumpy. They can even lose them. So they can tend to take time to find that soulmate because they need to do a lot of their own healing before they get to that point. And then in the third phase, they are going to be called out. Again, this energy is like when they're ready, when they've gone through their Chiron return, then they will be called out for their wisdom. And their wisdom isn't necessarily about their doing, even though they're probably good at what they do. It's about their being. People want to see their authenticity so that they have permission. They can give themselves permission to be their authentic selves. So that is the briefest of brief overviews of the six lines of the profiles of the hexagram. So one of the things that I've been doing recently is I can't help myself. I am going in and doing so much learning, and I'm doing some more certification with Karen Curry Parker, because I think she's one of the people that I really massively rate. And it's not so much so I get the piece of paper. I don't really need a piece of paper, but I just am really keen to hear her nuances and learn her nuances to things. And hopefully, I haven't asked yet, but hopefully I'm going to get her on the podcast soon, because so much of what she says really resonates, and I think that would be hugely powerful for all of you. So one of the things she talks about with profile is that we must honor our unconscious line before we will ever be able to fully step into our conscious line. Okay, so what does that mean? Our unconscious line is our second number. The unconscious line is the body. Okay, so what she's saying, or the way I've taken it, is that we must stabilize our body first. And this goes back to the four arrows, when I did all the work on the four arrows, and understanding that when we look at PHS and environment, this is about stabilizing the body. When we stabilize the body, we actually have the ability to amplify the radio station that comes out of our magnetic monopole. Okay, so our own frequency that goes out becomes clearer when we stabilize the body. The communication between the universe and our authority becomes much crisper because we're in alignment. Our body is stable. So for me, this makes sense, having done the study on the four arrows. Now, what she says is that we have to make sure that we honor the unconscious line first. So what does that mean for me? Let's use me as an example. So I'm a line five in my unconscious, in my body. So that means that my journey, like I've always had this inherent, I need to make an impact. I need to lead. I've always been a leader. And really interestingly, in my pro membership, last month we had Stacey Rowan, I'm going to have her on the podcast soon, talk about BG5. And BG5 is all about how we work with our human design within business, within groups. And it was really interesting when she did she doesn't do your chart. She does this amazing whole analysis, what actually was fascinating to me is that I'm designed to be really independent. I don't work in a group. I'm much better outside of the group. So even the way I run my business, I'm the alpha outside of the group. How I've worked in business when I worked in corporate, I just, you know, it just didn't work for me, right? So here's me, line five, needing to lead, not being able to lead in a corporate environment. Also, of course, being line five, I have to do my healing first. So in my 20s, at 28, my life blows up. It sends me on this journey of starting to have to heal myself. The more I healed myself, the more, I've got to say, my three calmed down, but the more people wanted that from me. The projection field that I lived in when I was in my 20s and probably even into my 30s was awful. Like, people would project stuff onto me that was so random. As soon as I went into that process of learning behavioral coaching and really understanding, you know, projection is perception, everything that was projected onto me, I've done healing on now, because I was like, okay, cool. This has got something to do with me. Now, in human design, we say as a line five, it doesn't, but I would definitely beg to differ on that one. However, what I'm trying to say is that the process for me, when I started doing my healing, then all of a sudden everything showed up for me. So I had all these different experiences. Things worked, things didn't work. And I started to really be able to feel safe in the experiences that I was having, feel safe that I've got this, feel safe that I could overcome my adversities, feel safe that actually when I say this is a better way, it is a better way. I can trust myself. I can trust this. So when I had my five really more in alignment, and it's the stuff now, if I get out of alignment with my five, meaning that my own day-to-day healing is in rest, restore, playing, having fun, doing exercise, all the things that heals my body and my energy, if I forget to do those things, then the experiences that I tend to have will be flatter or more challenging, or I don't learn much from them. Okay, so what does this mean? When I'm in more alignment, closer alignment with my five, then it means my three can shine. Now, having a line three and it shining, does that mean that I'm going to have bigger, more shitty things to overcome? Well, I'm 46 now, so it does tend to die down after, you know, as you get older and older and you realize you find better ways, you realize you're resilient, you understand that you can overcome these things, that you tend to always win, as in you get to the other side of it, not necessarily win anything, then this becomes really powerful, because I have noticed doing this experiment, because of course I have to experiment with everything first to know if it's true for me. And if it's true for me, I'm going to share it with you guys for you to experiment. And that is that what's definitely happened with my three is that when I'm taking care of my five energies and I'm doing that stuff for me, then what I'm noticing is that the experiences that I have, even the ones that don't go my way, because that obviously happens a lot. I make a lot of mistakes. I fall down a lot, and that's fine because now I know that's part of who I am. But they tend to be, what's the word? Like, okay, I'm going to give you an example. So the other week, it was my son's birthday. He wanted to go go-karting. I've wanted to go forever. I love driving fast cars. I get out on the go-kart track and I just hate it, right? And I knew as I was walking in, I was like, oh, I just don't want to do this today, but I couldn't not do it. You know, I was in my emotional low, but it was my son's birthday. So I'm like, I'm going to turn up. And I was playing with this profile piece. And this really, what was really interesting is that, yes, I was in my emotional low. So things tend to just be, you know, crappy when you're there. But there was also this other part of me that it was like the whole experience was completely dull, like dull, Like the moment I got there, I just didn't want to be there. And it's not an experience that I have often. Like even if I'm not good at something, even if I make mistakes, even if I'm afraid, whatever it is, I still tend to get something out of it. And it was actually going back over my notes with this. I was like, ah, not only was I tired, but I was really run down. I didn't do my work. There was other people on the track that really triggered some of my unresourceful stuff. So there was healing that I needed to do. So it's almost like this experience and things that I'm usually like, yeah, I'm going to get in, I'm going to learn, I'm going to experience, I'm going to find a better way, I'm going to do this. And in this metaphor, it's like, okay, so I'm going to find, you know, what's the best drive line? What's the fastest thing around that corner? What's the da-da-da-da? But I was just like totally disengaged. And I looked back and I'm like, wow, it's because I wasn't honoring the body, what the body needed. And this is because it's our sun. I'm going back to the chart because it's our sun. This is so important because it's 70% of our energy. So for me to really thrive in my experiences, which is my mind, which is my personality, for me to thrive in my mind and my personality, I need to be stabilized in my body. Gold, right? So now, I want you to do the experiment, all right? I'm even going to give you some journal prompts, all right? I want you to do the experiment with your profile, all right? So get out your journal and I want you to ask yourself these following questions and run your own experiment. Like this mightn't make sense to you, but I reckon it's gonna. So the questions are, how do you experience your second or unconscious line? How does it turn up in your life? Number two, what needs to be seen, heard, acknowledged, and honored in your second or unconscious line that you're not embracing now? Number three, what specific actions can I take to get more into alignment with my second unconscious line? Fourth question is, how do I experience my first or conscious line? How does it turn up in my life? And number five is, what specific actions can I take to get more into alignment with my first conscious line? All right. So I highly encourage you guys to sit, do the experiment, do it over a bit of time. Especially if you've got a defined solar plexus, you need a few runs at it. Do this over this experiment over a few weeks and just see how it shows up. See how you need to specifically stabilize your body so that your mind, because when you say it this way, how much sense does it make? So your mind can have clarity. So your mind can be free to do what it needs to do. All right. Brilliant. If you enjoy this podcast, please go to Apple, to Spotify. I don't think you can even leave anything on. Anyway, can you go and leave me a 5-star review, please, so that this podcast can get into as many ears as possible. Thanks, everyone. Look forward to seeing you next time. Bye for now. Thanks, everyone, for being here all the way to the end of the podcast. I hope you got lots of value out of it. I certainly had a lot of fun doing it. Could I please ask that you share this podcast with friends if you found it valuable? And also, bonus points, could you leave a review for me as well on Apple? It would be greatly appreciated. If at any point you would like to be on the podcast or you've got questions that you'd like me to discuss on the podcast, by all means, get on my socials and DM me. Everything you need is there in the show notes. Have an awesome day. Bye for now.